so before you record, I just want to say a quick prayer.
You can go ahead and pray now because we're already recording.
Okay, perfect. Okay, y'all ready? Lord, thank you for this time of communion. I pray that things go the way that they should go. If we have mishaps or any mess ups, I pray that all of this flows in your spirit. I pray that we are guided by your spirit. I pray that this word penetrates our hearts, penetrates our minds, and is able to penetrate those who have the opportunity to listen to it. I pray that you flow through us and flow through our words, and we are changed because of this conversation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. So first of all, I guess happy Resurrection Sunday. To my beautiful family.
Thank you. Happy Resurrection.
This is Bridging the Gap Teaching Ministry. I'm your host, Charles.
I'm Mariah.
And I'm Jan.
I was going to introduce y'all, but yeah. Thank you. So we're here today with another discussion. We did this last year, if y'all remember, and thought it was a good, very good conversation, and wanted to just get together. We had so much fun last year. Thought we'd get together again this year as a family and just talk about the Bible.
We did the prodigal son last year.
Good memory.
Mm-hmm. Sure did. And today we're doing
the parable of the good Samaritan.
One of your favorites, huh?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So how do y'all want to get started?
I guess we can just start by introducing the fact that we are reading the parable of the Good Samaritan found in the book of Luke, chapter 10. If you didn't hear me, I'm going to repeat it. We are reading the parable of the Good Samaritan found in the book of Luke, chapter 10. I repeat, book of Luke, chapter 10.
Okay. Which version are you reading out of? I think I'm reading out of the New King James Version. Jan, which?
New Living Translation.
Mariah, which version are you reading?
I have the English Standard.
So why don't we just read one translation?
Okay.
Doesn't matter who.
Doesn't matter. One of y'all can read.
Okay. But if we're all splitting up the verses, no?
You're just going to read them.
Okay.
Or your mom's going to read them. Yeah.
Okay, but
that way, whoever is following can follow in that one translation. We'll get a lot of people confused.
Okay. Sure. Okay. That's good. Okay. Well, let us start then.
And what's your translation again?
English Standard Version.
Okay.
In other words, ESV.
Okay.
Okay. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan. We are starting on verse 25. And here we go. Action. And behold, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that same road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So, likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." And that is the end.
Wow. Nice.
That was powerful.
It's a very, very, very nice scripture to explain to this young man who was seemed to be challenging Jesus, you know, like, who your neighbor should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, the first thing that just kind of jumps out at me in the scripture is the fact that this guy is challenging Jesus.
That's crazy, because the first thing that jumped out at me was not that, but the response that Jesus had. It wasn't like a, oh, you're challenging me, da 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 da. You know who your neighbor is supposed to be. It was an immediate parable.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to answer your question directly. I'm going to give you something to go think about.
I'm going to tell you a story.
Right.
Something you can remember. But the fact that this is a human, 100% human,
yeah,
is challenging a being that's 100% man, but at the same time, he's 100% God. So he's challenging the very force, the very person that created him.
Correct.
Mm. You know?
I like the way he put it back to him, because in the New Living Translation, it says that this guy was an expert in religious law. So he's
the guy that was questioning
the guy that was questioning Jesus. Mm. It says that he was an expert in religious law. So Jesus is like, well, what does your law of Moses say? Since you're an expert in religious law, what does your law say?
Yeah.
How do you read it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So he's that's interesting. So it was like back in that time, everybody wanted to be the one to catch Jesus off guard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, so teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?
Yeah. Right.
You know,
it likely was striped with a little sarcasm as well, but the Bible doesn't say that, but you can just imagine that.
Absolutely.
Exchange.
Yeah.
A little indignant.
Yeah.
Sarcasm.
Because the way Jesus answered him is like, well, I mean, what's written in your law? Since you are of the law, what's written in the law?
Right.
You know?
That's right. Right. So what do you think the theme behind the parable is that Jesus is trying to convey?
So let's
a good question.
Let's paint the story a little bit.
Okay.
Since it's right there. So this guy is coming from Jerusalem, going down to Jericho. And so he's, you know, Jerusalem is where the temple was.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my mind, that means that he's doing the things that he's supposed to be doing, because he's basically coming from church.
Mm. Okay.
And he's going down to Jericho, and there's this long winding road leading from Jerusalem. It goes down to Jericho, and it was known to be very dangerous. And there's lots of robbers and thugs and hoodlums hanging out on the road. So he gets jumped, right?
Yep.
And so he gets beaten, and he's left there
with no clothes,
as if he was dead. Yeah, yeah. So what did they say about his clothes?
They said that he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him, and then they departed, leaving him half dead.
So they stripped him, they wounded him, and then they departed, leaving him half dead. And then there's a couple of people who he saw approaching him, right?
Mm-hmm.
The first one that approaches is
a priest.
And so there's a man. So imagine this guy, he's laying there half dead, he's beaten, he's wounded, and in between the tears coming from his dirty eyes, he can see an image of a priest, somebody who's dressed in church attire, coming towards him. But did that guy help?
Nope.
No.
He said he passed by on the other side.
Said he passed by on the other side. And that's one thing, Mariah, that I always find very interesting in the story, is that these are church people.
Mm-hmm.
That part.
A priest.
A leader in the church. And I kind of feel like when I read it, when, you know, this is, again, Jesus answering an expert in religious law.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is like, let me show you what one of your leaders would likely do.
Wow.
Let me hold the mirror up to what y'all would do. But y'all experts, y'all know what it says,
right,
but you're not living it. Let me show you what y'all would do.
There's a scripture in the Bible that says that you can have the appearance thereof?
Appearance of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
Denying the power thereof. So you can be dressed in all the attire.
Yes.
You can say all the right things. You can have all the
colloquialisms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the right phrases. You know, just when to shout. You know, yes. Just when to clap your hands, you know, yes. Just when to fall out. But when the rubber meets the road, when it's time for you to show up.
That's right.
To care for someone else.
Yes.
Can you show up?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And but then it was like, if that's not the only leader that didn't show up. So like, if you didn't get the picture the first time, here's another one. Here comes a Levite. And yes. Levite's basically, I think, similar to a deacon.
Yeah, what the New Living Translation calls him is a temple assistant.
Mm.
So yeah, okay. Assistant pastor maybe, or a deacon, like yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so here's this guy, he's beaten, he's wounded, he's left for half dead. He sees the image of the priest or the pastor coming through, and the pastor probably felt like, "Oh, I can't touch him. I can't even go near him, because if I do, I'm going to be defiled. I'm just leaving the temple."
Right.
And he leaves the guy. And now here comes a deacon. And surely the deacon's going to help me. Yeah. I mean, surely somebody is going to come to my aid and see that I need help. You know, I've just left church with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And the deacon
walk right on by.
Said that
right.
He too.
Because he's following the religious leader's example instead of following what the word says he should do.
So he's looking more to his pastor than he is to God.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And so he then takes the same route that the priest took, and he left him and went to the other side.
Yeah.
But then here comes a Samaritan. And so this guy, the guy that's beaten, laying on the road, left half dead. He just left Jerusalem, right?
Yes.
And so in my mind, that means he's most likely a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Now here comes a Samaritan. And we know that the Jews and the Samaritans didn't really get along very well because.
Okay. I was just about to say why.
Because they felt that the Samaritans were half bred. They weren't pure Jews.
Mm. And that's funny because this translation says a despised Samaritan.
Dang.
And that makes me also think back to when he the religious expert wanted to ask further, and who is my neighbor? That makes me think classism, or what group can we say our neighbor is in?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. His mind was very limited and boxed.
Yes.
Like, is everybody my neighbor? Yeah. Or is it just like my religious
right. Can friends? I just do that for Jews, or do I have to do it for Samaritans too?
Right.
And that's where Jesus broke the story down to him, right?
Wow, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
And so he said a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he, the despised Samaritan, had compassion.
Just let that marinate. If anybody should have avoided anybody, it should have been him, because he was hated. And he likely knew he was hated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And to have compassion is to share in someone's pain, or to carry someone's burden as if you're carrying it yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
And the priest didn't do that. And I mean, he should have. He was supposed to look godly.
And he was likely teaching this same law.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Every week.
The Levite couldn't do it. I mean, he looked like he would be able to do it because he was in the attire and dressed out, and
he had all the tools
to do it.
And he had the hands and the feet to go and help, walk over and help.
Mm-hmm. Probably had a Bible under his hand or a scroll.
Probably so.
Under his hand. But here's the Samaritan that was despised. But who was he despised by? He was despised by the guy probably laying on the road.
Likely so.
Because the guy that was laying on the road was a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. But the Samaritan, instead of feeling, I guess, as if I shouldn't help, or feeling as if I'm being hated or feeling as if I'm being looked down upon, decided, hey, he's a human.
That's correct. Yeah. Looking beyond culture and beyond appearance and even beyond what they were taught likely growing up.
Yeah.
That's a human.
We're both human.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it boils down to, you know, like in society today. I mean, just looking at political arena, how people are looking at other people as if they're not human because they're not of the same party.
That is so, and of the same race or culture. That brings me, whenever I read this, it made me think about just a fictitious scenario. Let's say we're in a border town and we see an immigrant who may have come here illegally laying on the concrete, who's hurt or wounded, you know, and there's no witnesses. It's us, the immigrant, and God who's everywhere. What will we do? Will we go and help, or would we sit here and make excuses and be like, well, it's partially their fault because they shouldn't have come here illegally anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. Am I breaking a law? Mm-hmm. I mean, they broke the law to come here. So do they even deserve my help?
Are they really my neighbor?
Are they really my neighbor?
Yeah. Wow. And most of those people, Jan, are doing exactly what you said the Levite did because of the priest.
Exactly.
Just following the example of the one that's in front of him.
Correct.
And not following Jesus.
That's
or following God or following the compassion that they have in their heart. They're just falling in line.
Falling in line.
Keep doing status what quo. The person in front of them are doing.
Correct. And many times, not to say it was the case with the law that they're speaking of in the Bible, but I'm speaking of laws that are written today. A lot of them don't have the moral compass to write a law that benefits the least of these.
Mm.
There, a lot of them are writing laws that benefit themselves and funnel money back to their parties and their interests
people
and their
like
constituents.
Them.
People like them.
Mm.
Exactly. People like them.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, we don't get to choose where we were born and what families we were born into. And if we had to switch positions and be born into a war-torn country or a country where our families are at risk of being killed every single day, what are the lengths that we would go through, including breaking the law, to get our families and ourselves to some safety? And
right.
We don't think about that because we were born in America and, you know, we hadn't seen a civil war on these lands in 150 years. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so we don't have the same lived experiences as some of these people do. So I just think we get comfortable in our own little bubbles and are unable to see that person as a criminal and automatically think they the worst people on earth because they broke a law to come here.
Right.
They broke a law to find safety. We all have a right to be safe and to have food and to be able to sleep at night without, you know, expecting harm to come to you and your families.
And did they break a law?
Right.
Did they break a law that they're governed by, or did they break a law that we're governed by?
That's a very good question. That's a really good point. That is true. That is true.
So the Samaritan, what I found interesting here is that he reversed the order of events that happened to the guy that was beaten left half dead.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at verse 30, it said, then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves. The thieves, they stripped him of his clothes and they wounded him. And then departed, leaving him half dead. And then when you look at verse 34, it says that the Samaritan, that despised Samaritan, he had compassion on him and he went and he bandaged his wounds. You know, and so they stripped him, wounded him. The Samaritan goes, he bandaged the wounds, put covering on him, poured on oil and wine. And he didn't leave him, but he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him.
That's right.
You know, and so it's like when you have compassion on someone, you know, it's like reversing the damage that's been done.
That's
you
right.
know, is it like right. taking it away? No, but it's like being there, being present, and just reversing that damage, whether it's physical, psychological, or what
that's
have
so
you.
Good.
You know, just being there, being present
that's
means
so
much. You know,
that's so true. There's so many layers.
That's
to this
great.
This parable that I haven't noticed before.
Yep.
So many layers, just starting with the fact that I don't think I knew that the teacher asking Jesus was a religious expert.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that makes it even more interesting knowing that he's questioning him about the law. So there, he thinks that they're at the same level.
That's
wow.
right. You know,
yes.
when in reality, Jesus is, he's got a couple steps
yes.
on him.
And Jesus is the word, the
exactly.
living word.
Exactly.
So he's asking Jesus about himself, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, he up there looking at Jesus, and Jesus is like looking at him kind of sideways.
And right. And then he's asking Jesus, not out of genuine curiosity.
Uh-huh.
It says here, and you know Jesus already knew this, that he stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't asking out of genuine curiosity and how can I live my life better and, you know, what can I do? It was to try to trip him up.
Yeah. And what I love, though, is that Jesus wasn't giving him answers. He was like, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to tell you how to think.
Yes.
I'm about to force you
yes.
to learn how to think.
That's
how
so
to
good.
And I'm going to give you a question.
Yes.
And let you answer that question.
What does your word say?
Yeah.
You know?
And you're obviously an intelligent guy, being that you're an expert in religious law. So I'm going to meet you on your level.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So which of these three is your neighbor? You know, just making him think.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. And so that just, it just really opens up, you know, the conversation about who is your neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And
you
it
know?
Opens the door too. It makes me think that two of the religious leaders, like you guys said, passed on by the wounded guy. So you don't have to have a title, a religious title, to practice the word of God.
That's mm-hmm. right.
You don't have to have the appearance of, you know, the religious duties and all of these things, all the boxes checked off. You don't have to have a string of letters behind your name.
Mm.
You don't even have to be someone who's loved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because this guy was despised.
That's yeah. right. That's right.
So it kind of levels the playing field for anybody.
Yeah.
Who, titled or not, educated or not,
mm-hmm.
loved or not,
high class or not.
High class or not.
And I think the key is verse 33. It says that when he saw him, he had compassion on him. You know, so
that's
it's like
great.
If you have compassion in your heart, if you have the love of God, the agape love of God in your heart, if you have compassion in your heart, that's going to move you to do things to help others.
That's great.
It's going to move you to see others as your neighbor.
That's right.
And not just the people that's in your tribe,
that's
but
right.
it's anyone in need, anyone in pain, you're going to want to feel that pain because of the compassion that you have. And it's going to move you to do something.
That's mm-hmm. right.
That's so
right.
true. One thing I would say, the theme of compassion in this parable reminds me of the prodigal son story.
Yeah. Wow.
Not in the same exact way, but
mm-hmm.
I see the prodigal son as this Jew being beaten and left on the ground, mm-hmm. whether it was his responsibility for being beat up or not.
Right.
You know, he's beaten and left and lost and don't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
The two guys that kind of walk by and just, mm-hmm. I'm going to mind my business, kind of remind me of the brother that the prodigal son had. You know, there was a little bit of, wasn't there a brother, right?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of jealousy, a
yeah.
little bit of, he might be out there, but it's fine because my dad got me covered.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm good. I'm,
yes.
I'm fine. Like, I ain't got to worry about that. And then the Samaritan kind of is in the same box as the dad to me. Like, there's a level of compassion,
mm-hmm.
and no matter what you've done, who you are, what you
yes.
look like,
yeah.
I got you. I'm going to bring
yes.
you in. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bandage your wounds.
That's right.
I'm going to clothe you back up. And
that's good. That's a really good connection. I never thought
is,
of it.
Yeah, that is so good.
Yeah.
And look, after the after he bandaged him up, after he put him on the animal and took him to the inn, what he told the guy at the inn was, so verse 35 says, on the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a picture of Jesus paying the cost.
Correct.
You know, paying the price mm-hmm. for us to bandage our wounds mm-hmm. and to pour all on us, you know, and to pick us up out of the position where we are, take us to a safe place. You know, it's like he paid the ultimate price for that, you know? Mm-hmm.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. That's so true. It makes me think about, I don't want to start babbling because I don't have my thoughts together on this subject, but it makes me think about a part of a chapter that I read out of my philosophy book today about hedonism or hedonism. Mm-hmm. It's basically the idea that humans, our nature is to run towards pleasure and away from pain. Mm-hmm. But that was like back in before Christ, mm-hmm. BC times. Yeah. But as philosophy, the subject itself has evolved, more scientists, psychologists, and philosophers think that one thing that separates humans from animals is the fact that we can make choices that have nothing to do with running towards pleasure or running away from pain.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we mm-hmm. can...
Doesn't have to be a selfish exactly, choice. Right.
We can step outside of our desires and do something to help somebody else. Mm-hmm. Or...
Even if somebody is that can't do anything for you.
Yes.
Back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what this kind of makes me think of. The two religious leaders that walked by at first, you know, it's kind of like... That's going to take some of my time, some of my money.
Yes.
I might got stuff to do.
Right.
He on the ground.
He's dirty.
Should I call somebody?
I can't touch him.
Yeah.
It's going to make me defile.
Facts. I might get leprosy or something, you know.
And they crossed on the other side of the road.
Yeah.
Like the farthest away from him.
Stay over there.
Yes.
Yeah. But the Samaritan, he comes by. It was almost as if he took himself completely out of it. I was like, okay. I'm human, but this is also another human.
That's
and
right.
one thing we both have in common is our need to survive.
That's right.
So
what can I do to help?
And because exactly. I'm despised, if the roles were reversed, he possibly wouldn't help me. But they aren't. And this is where I am. And this is where he is. I'm human. He's human. And I'm going to go and help him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought that was super powerful.
And so... I like the way that you said Jesus didn't just tell him an answer.
Yeah.
Yes.
But he asked him a question.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of this, the last two verses, could one of y'all read that? Mm-hmm. The last two verses again?
Starting at 36?
Yeah.
Okay. So verse 36. So which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?
So like after all this conversation, the guy came to Jesus and said, well, good master. I don't know if you said good master.
He's a teacher.
But teacher, who's my neighbor?
Yeah.
And Jesus told him this, and it was like the answer was just plain as day.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus had to ask him that question.
Yep. And then the man said, the one who showed him mercy. And so Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise.
You go. And do likewise. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just...
Like, you just answered your own question you asked me, trying to be smart and slick.
Yeah.
You got your answer.
Yeah. Because one day, you're looking at someone that's down and out.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, it might be you.
Yeah.
And so, you've got to treat people the way you would want people to treat you. You know, if you're down and out, you don't... You wouldn't want people to walk over you, pass by you, or look at you as if you're subhuman or some animal or, you know, not a whole human being. Mm. Stop treating people that way.
Yeah.
You treat people as if they are made in the image of God, because the Bible says that they are made. We are all made in the image of God. And so it's our responsibility to treat one another that way.
That's good.
And he, like, you know, being a mom myself, I would look at him when that, like, that's somebody's baby that's down there that's hurt and needs some help. And, you know, we're all human and individuals are complex, and some people are more lovable, less lovable than others. But you will never meet an individual. You will never look into the eyes of an individual who the Creator Almighty God does not love. And so we, they have worth, whether we give them worth or we don't, whether they look the same as us, we don't, they dress the same, they make the same amount of money or they don't, they have nothing at all and don't even have a cardboard box to live in. That person is valuable.
That's right.
That's so true.
That's right.
It's like somehow whenever I read these parables in the Bible, or even when situations around me happen, I somehow relate those situations or stories to basketball. And I think that's just because that's basketball has been everywhere. Yeah. But even thinking about March Madness and all that stuff going on, this parable just reminds me of being in a team unit. And one theme that has stuck out to me with this parable and the connection to basketball is that when you're on a team, as long as you're doing your part, the entire unit can flow consecutively.
That's good.
And so if I take that
is
lesson,
good.
You know, and apply that to a life situation or even this parable, it's like this is teaching us that our part that we have to play is compassion love.
That's right.
And it's like
that's
the minute that you don't do that, somebody else has the opportunity to do that.
That's correct.
And I mean, that's fine because God, everything works out, you know, for the good of those who love the Lord. So if you don't do it, God got somebody else who's going to step in. So if the Levite couldn't do it, the priest couldn't
do it,
the Samaritan came through. But just imagine what else could have happened or what good could have come out of it if the first person would have just taken responsibility and done their job the first time.
Intervened in a timely manner.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you bring out that the two religious leaders passed on by him first. And that in no way, one of the best things my dad ever told me was you're going to hear some things, you're going to see some things, but you always keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
And just because those religious leaders did not do what they were supposed to do, that in no way relieves us of the responsibility of not doing what we know we're supposed to do, because God is not going to judge us based on the religious leaders. He's going to judge us as individuals.
Exactly. And it's like with every choice you make, you have a responsibility. And if you guys have seen Spider-Man, you know Uncle Ben be saying, with great power comes great responsibility.
That's right.
So to be a human, you have a lot of power in your choices taking responsibility for your actions. If you don't do what you're supposed to do when it comes to your choices by being a compassionate and loving person, that means that somebody else has to pick up your slack.
That's right.
And in a team unit, if I'm not doing my part, getting rebounds or playing defense, somebody else has to step in to fill not only my position, but they have to be responsible for theirs as well.
That's right.
You know, which leaves us at a deficit as a team.
Absolutely. That's it makes the team weaker.
Exactly.
And when everybody's not playing their role.
Exactly.
A smaller, what you just mentioned, a team, like as in a basketball team, is a smaller representation of how society functions as a whole.
Exactly.
As a whole.
Exactly. Yes. As we function as in the body of Christ in general.
That's right.
You know, if somebody's not doing their job, somebody else got to step in, pick up the slack. But as long as you're doing your job and you're worried about what you're supposed to do, everybody else can then be responsible for what they're supposed to do. So if I see a Samaritan and I can help them, then this person over here who sees somebody else who needs help, they can do what they need to do and not have to help them and come back and help this this Jew who's laying on the ground. And not Samaritan, my fault from earlier, but you know, what I'm saying.
And unfortunately, the two religious leaders did not provide good examples to follow.
Right.
And the Bible doesn't say this, but you never know who may or may not have been watching the despised Samaritan's example and could learn from it.
Right.
Unfortunately, the two religious leaders didn't provide that good example, but the despised Samaritan did.
Right.
Yeah.
I think we'll close on that. This has been a great conversation. This has been a great conversation.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah. Very. So, Mariah, I think you started off saying, hey, what did you learn out of this? If you had one quick sentence to wrap everything up for us, what did you learn out of this?
Just do your best every day, to be compassionate and to remember that it's never the wrong time to do the right thing.
That's amazing.
Sounds good. All right, y'all. This is Charles, Jan, Mariah.
Yup.
International Bridging the Gap Teaching Ministry. Thank you for listening. We will do better and not wait a whole year to do this again. How about that, Jan?
I'm with it.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Hey, thank you for listening if you made it all the way to the end. And we'll talk to you guys next time.